Welcome back, everyone. In this episode of the Therapy Dogs Australia podcast, we sit down with Shakira Houtby to hear her inspiring journey into the world of animal-assisted therapy alongside her therapy dog, Alfie. We cover the realities of therapy dog visits, highlighting the challenges and different workplace settings to the costs and logistics of running professional animal-assisted services. Shakira also opens up about her business, Waggly Woofs, and developing animal-assisted therapeutic programs for children that are now available to purchase through her website. If you're a therapy dog handler or considering stepping into the field, this episode is packed with practical advice and honest reflections. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Therapy Dogs Australia podcast. I've got Sam King, the owner of Therapy Dogs Australia, with
me. Hello, everybody. How's it going?
And we've got the lovely Shakira Houtby with us today. I'm just going to read out a little bit about Shakira for everyone. So we have a qualified social worker with a graduate certificate in mental health. And Shakira also works alongside her therapy dog, Alfie, a three-year-old Maltese cross toy poodle who's been in the therapy dog world for almost 2 years now. Together, they run a business called Waggly Woofs, where they do everything from aged care visits and community programs to workplace well-being sessions and tailored workshops. And they've just launched something really exciting called the Handlers Hub, a space where qualified therapy dog teams can access ready-to-go interventions to use in their own work. Welcome, Shakira.
Thank you. It's lovely to see you.
Yes. Oh, good. We're actually coming up to our second time of our reassessment, so we'll be seeing you again soon, Sam.
Can't wait for a coffee date. Wonderful.
Are you going to do them in person?
Yeah, I generally do.
It's nice.
Just find it. We're not too far away, so it's nice to come in person. Redcliffe's a beautiful area, so stroll along the pier, make the most of it while we're there.
Get all the pats from all the Redcliffe locals. They love a bloody dog, the Redcliffe locals, so it's not hard for us to get a couple of puppy snuggles along the esplanade there. And look, there's a few coffee shops, so I don't know, would it kill us to get a latte? I don't think so.
I'm hearing coffee, baby-free time.
Well, unless you want to bring your little baby along, that's fine as well. We should actually mention that Shakira's a mum. She's had a baby.
6-month-old.
They're very, very busy.
I can't believe I'm saying 6-month-old, but little Alfie has transitioned into a big brother very smoothly. So it's been really wonderful to see.
So we want to talk to Shakira today about her journey, so how she got into animal-assisted therapy and what she's seeing in her work with that, and specifically what kind of stuff they're doing together. So Shakira, you are already a social worker before you started studying animal-assisted therapy. Tell us a little bit about Alfie. Did you get him for animal-assisted therapy, or did you just get a puppy, or what happened there?
Look, to be honest, I had no idea about what a therapy dog was. Obviously knew very nuanced what an assistance dog was. But I got a puppy for the sake of I wanted to get, you know, my first pet dog living out of home.
No one could stop
every
me.
Girl's dream.
This is happening.
Yeah. We'd bought a house. So my partner at the time was like, okay, like we can finally get a dog. And I'm like, yes. So, look, yeah, he was a dog off Gumtree. The things I would have, if we were to do our time again, the things you know now, I would probably do very differently. But he's a Maltese cross toy poodle. I happened to look at him on Gumtree one day and I was like, oh, this dog is so cute. You know, I really just would love a dog like this. But at the time, I was like, oh, look, it's probably not the right time for a dog. I had showed one of my colleagues at work, and then our next team meeting, they all banded together and we came up with a pros and cons list as to why I should buy this puppy.
My gosh, hilarious.
So I went home that night to my husband and said, look, I've come up with a pros and cons list. And then I think that night we went to Kmart and had decided the next day to go look at this puppy. So
why is it Kmart in the story?
Oh, to go and get puppy supplies. Oh, it was happening.
Yeah, like Kmart, place to make decisions.
I thought you were going to say went to Kmart and bought every single thing you could possibly buy to get a puppy, and then we got the puppy. But you went to Kmart before you decided, or that was the deciding factor? Because Kmart is
I had decided.
Okay, great.
I decided, let's be real. So we went to see this puppy the next day, and there was only two left of the litter. She actually tried to sell me the other one, but little Alfie just came up to us straight away. He just sat by our feet. He just had such a cute little playful nature. And then there we were going home with the puppy.
Love so, it.
That's how we ended up with Alfie. And then I, look, was one of those people that took my puppy in to the workplace only once or twice before I had him known. And the way he interacted with people was just really different. He just really enjoyed it. And someone said to me, oh, imagine if he was a therapy dog. And I was like, what's a therapy dog? So I got on Googling what a therapy dog was. Ended up finding Therapy Dogs Australia, read through all their stuff, and I was like, oh, animal-assisted therapy and animal-assisted activities and interventions would be so cool. Obviously, I had a tiny little puppy at this stage, so I was like, we'll see how we go. Anyway, we'd done a few, like, just general obedience puppy school courses and things like that, and he was still really loving people at this stage. Not much of a dog's dog, but a real people dog. So then it got to 12 months and we decided to give the course a go because I just really liked how it could complement your, you know, your current framework, depending on what particular, you know, qualification you have. So we gave it a go at the beginning of the course. I think we're week one or week two. I definitely did have a cry going, oh my God, we're not going to pass this course. I've spent all this money. My dog does not listen to me. He would give me the finger if he could. He's got such a little personality on him. But honestly, Therapy Dogs Australia is probably one of the best trainings I've ever done just in terms of general life. I can sit there and have a steak on the couch and he will not touch my steak.
Is this a paid ad?
But we even use it for things
keep
like...
Keep it coming, Shakira.
Well, he was frightened of the wheelie bin, like so frightened. He would bark, 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 bark. And we just did so much like window of tolerance training with him. Mm-hmm. And now he can bring the wheelie bin in with us.
Oh, so good on him.
Really cool. Anyway, sorry, off track, but... We did the course, and then by this time, I've always sort of worked in child protection as my primary sort of social work role. So I work with a lot of children that have experienced significant trauma, and it was just a place where I was like, oh, I would love to be able to, you know, bring him in once we're qualified. So that's sort of how we started off. It took me about probably between 8 to 10 months to, because it was a first for my workplace, to get that all sorted. And then I started using him alongside my child protection work. And it was good, but obviously a few barriers. It was mainly home visit sort of work. And that comes up with its own risk assessment and its own barriers, especially if they have pets of their own and things like that. And I just had a lot of children really enjoying Alfie's company. And so we decided to come up with Waggly Woofs, and that's where we kind of did a few modalities, aged care visits. We did small community group run programs. Sometimes we do school holiday workshops, all these different sort of things. And yeah, I guess that's how we sort of started Waggly Woofs.
Which is amazing.
Very cool.
Such a dedicated journey as well. With the home visit stuff, can you talk to us a little bit about what you found? Because I have done, let me think, 10 years or so ago, I went into a client's home because they had major refusal issues and they wouldn't leave the home to get to the clinic, and was quite a crisis type client. Not just, it was a young person that was just in a difficult time. But I took Sunny there, who also I got off of Gumtree. FYI, best 400, no, out of the trading post, this is the trading post, best $400 I've spent. And that challenges that I had and that situation, because this comes up in conversation because lots of people are mobile and wanting to do in-home visits. And I'm not against it, but I do let people know that my experience of that, and I have now heard from other people as well, it's really challenging for the dog to habituate to a new environment. So all the smells and everything that's in someone's home, I found that's quite distracting for the dog. Other pets are an issue. So this person had other dogs that they put out in the backyard, and I took my dog inside, but the other dogs are like at the door, which is another huge distraction and potentially an issue if those dogs are like, why is there another dog in my house? And getting upset. And then the risk assessment
side of it.
Yeah, you know, I only went to one place and I wasn't doing risk assessments back then, but just in terms of like an ad hoc risk assessment, I was like, oh, this is really tricky. There's other people around, there's siblings around. You don't have any control over how people keep their home. So what types of things they have out and about in the reach of a dog, these people in particular, I can't believe I remember this. Must be burned into my, I never remember anything. But this, they had one, like a low coffee table. And I had forgotten that people have coffee tables with things on them because I've always had Labradors. So I'm like, why would you have anything in the tail height?
Yeah.
The Labrador tail, that zone, you just can't have anything at that height because they will clear a table. Like all they do is wag their tail and it's like an otter tail and it just nails everything that it comes into contact with. So they had stuff like that. And I went there a couple of times and I was like, oh, this is really tricky. I think it's more tricky than being outdoors in a new environment. I think it's more tricky being indoors. So what was your, because I tell people that and I try and explain to people, like, I'm not against it, but doing home visits, being mobile, stuff like that. But I did find it really challenging. So what did you find?
Yeah, it is very challenging. It is probably, if we absolutely cannot make anything else work, and it is safe to do so, it would be like my last choice. Mm-hmm. One of the things, biggest distractions was all the smells of somebody else's house. And, you know, yes, some people might have pets and whatnot, but my dog is generally allowed, you know, free roam. Like we've taught him, he can jump up on a couch kind of thing, and that aids our therapeutic interventions really well. But someone might not want that at their home. We're really lucky in the fact that he's hypoallergenic, so doesn't shed any hair, but a lot of dogs do. So imagine, you know, visiting someone's home that doesn't have any pets and then leaving pet hair and all those sorts of things. So all the different smells, really distracting. If there's other pet, like people may not have dogs, but they could have cats or guinea pigs or things like that. And I'm just, it's just a whole nother layer of distraction for the dog. So that makes it really difficult. And another, probably one of the biggest things that I've found is if we have done a home visit and they have a dog and the dog's been put away or something like that, the kids are usually really eager for their dog to meet your dog.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Yeah. And for me, my blanket rule is no. And it's just, when Alfie's working, he's actually not allowed to meet other dogs is generally what we say. But the kids find that really, really hard, which is understandable because that's their pet dog. And
it's so exciting.
Yeah. And then Alfie loves the kids and, you know, we can all be one big happy family, but it's not quite how it works. I have done, like I said, last resort, I aim to stick outside if they've got a backyard or something like that. That's probably easier. It's less distracting for the dog, but still it's super distracting. All he wants to do is walk around and sniff all the areas, especially if they have a dog too. Oh, I'm going to pee where you peed. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was like a little pile of dirt at one of my clients' houses and where the kids play around and whatnot. But I was like, oh my God, he loves sand and dirt and he just likes to dig in it. Watch him go and put his ball there and dig in it. So yeah, it's really interesting. My preference is, so that's particularly for my current workplace, we will often go and use a local library, or they're linked with like the local parishes in the area. So we'll go and use the local parishes and things like that, just as a space, a way that is controlled and maintained and a bit more, I guess, risk assessment wise safe.
Yeah, interesting. I like to get people's feedback on it because, yeah, like that's pretty much the same feedback that everybody gives.
Look, I do have one client that I have been seeing for quite a while now. She's a 15-year-old teenage girl and I see her through an NDIS package. We do use her sort of front yard, but Alfie has been there enough times. We go there quite regularly. We alternate between that and a studio that I hire.
Yeah.
That works well. So that's, but it's a familiar place to him now. So it's not just here and there.
100% though. And that's something I say to people, because some people go into like residential homes, like supported living and stuff like that. But I'm like, yeah, if you're going to the same three houses, the dogs will habituate to that. Like they'll get used to that and it won't be such a big deal. And because remember, dogs' olfactory senses, they're so that's their cognitive work. That's how they think and perceive the world, is with smell. So by taking them to places with a huge amount of additional smells in the environment, you're working them heaps hard. They're using their brain a lot. So I do think that if they can go, and that's what I said, I don't like to go out and tell people like you shouldn't do or you can't do. I try and keep that to a minimum. I do it, but I keep it to a minimum. I did a presentation for a school this morning. One of the kids said to me, they're asking questions. One of the kids said to me, because they're like, can a Staffy be a therapy dog? Can a flipping whatever? They asked 75 different dogs. Yeah. I was like, yes. And then this girl goes, actually, they're asking like every breed. Ellie will listen to this. It was Ellie's school. Ellie will listen to this and laugh. They're asking like all these different breeds. What about like a Labrador? And I was like talking through the breeds to start with. And then I like got sick of it. So I was like, I'm just going to rate these dogs on a scale of 1 to 10 for how good they are. And they'd be like, French Bulldog, I'm like 3 out of 10. Yes. Like Golden Retriever, I'm like 10 out of 10. This girl goes, can a hybrid wolf be like a hybrid dire wolf be a therapy dog? And I was like, look, I'm not going to be the one to say no to that. So whatever. Sure. I was like, kids are literally the best. It was pretty funny. I was like, you know what? Whatever. Do whatever you want.
Yes. Well, see, a horse is a therapy dog.
So that child, I think if I had a client that was like, particularly, yeah, when you identify that need and you're like, oh, I really feel that if I make a home visit for this particular client, like it's clinically warranted and I think I can put in the extra effort and the work on myself and my dog because I think it's clinically warranted.
Yeah.
Do it. Totally do it. Like do your risk assessment, plan it all out and do it. I just sort of asking the question for those that are in the model. We have quite a few that come through the course and I used to kind of warn them and be like, you know, mobile might not be that handy, but I sort of go, oh, I don't want to be telling people like crushing all your dreams straight away because maybe
it can work somehow.
I do find the sessions that I do at this particular client's house, I generally, I don't want to say ask less of Alfie, but almost ask less of him. In that I know the environment is so distracting for him. He's running around in a backyard, you know, so we include him in quite high value activities, which he enjoys, but it's probably not as much as I, would ask of him of an in-clinic session.
Yeah.
Just because I know cognitively it's so hard for him.
Yeah.
And I don't want to set him up to fail either, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So now you guys are doing school, did you say school stuff and...
So we do much workplace. Yeah, aged care is a big one that we do. So it goes really well. I think with Alfie's size, so he's only 5 kilos. He's quite a little dog. We tend to visit, in particular, dementia wards. That has its own challenges again. It's supported by staff all the time, which is really good for our safeguarding. But he's really good in that, like, he's 5 kilos, so he can sit, he quite enjoys sitting on the residents' laps. He can go into the wheelchairs, he can go onto the beds and not be this really heavy, big therapy dog, I guess. Again, he doesn't lose any hair, so that's a big benefit in that particular place. Mm. Generally, it really depends. We always do a morning session because they're way more alert in the morning. We go in, we say a big hello to everyone. Alfie is a really big greeter. That's one of his strengths. So,
oh, bless him.
We play to that. He walks in so excited. And then he is really happy to sit on their laps and have a pat. And we just, you know, do a lot of cognitive work for the residents, see if they can remember if they had a dog, if they like dogs, things like that. They pat him. I've got like, I've bought this baby brush from Kmart that's just really soft bristled. And they brush him. So it's like practicing their fine motor skills. Alfie sits there and he's like, oh, that's so good. He's almost like asleep by the end of his sessions because he just gets pat for an hour. And then he does a trick show for them. He's really gentle with treats. So they often feed him a treat. We sometimes read a specific therapy dog book, all those sorts of things. So yeah, or depending if we're in a different ward, they might do paintings with the therapy dog or Alfie likes to jump through hoops. So sometimes we set up a little obstacle course, all sorts of things. It's lots of fun. One of our favorites has probably been 10 pin bowling. So we set up mini 10 pin bowling pins.
Oh my gosh, how cute.
They throw the 10 pin bowling ball and then Alfie goes and chases the ball. So. brings it back. So it's good fun. I think it brings a lot of joy into the homes. But again, like these homes usually have a lot of residents in them. It is probably one of the more tiring sessions for him. He'll do an hour and then he'll come home and we don't plan anything else, like any other sessions for the day, because he's very tired after it. So I just monitor how many we do, how often we do them, just for his well-being and things like that.
How many aged care facilities do you visit? Are they the same ones or?
Yeah, so we have a running one that we visit monthly, and then we do a couple of like here and there visits for another, and then we were doing another one monthly as well, but they've just knocking it down to build a new facility. Yeah. So, because I worked full time in my child protection role, and then I would do this kind of on my RDO or in my spare time on the weekends. And now I'm on maternity leave, so I have a bit more time, but I don't, if that makes sense. Maybe a little 100%. Bit more flexibility to do it here and there when the husband's off work. Here, I have the baby, and Alfie and I will go and do a session. So it just depends on we can fit things in. But yeah, hoping we're building, so hoping that we might do it a bit more regularly.
Wonderful. And so have you found, I don't know if you've been seen on now, I think you have, our Facebook, we've got our private groups for our graduates on Facebook, and I've been posting in there. We're getting quite a few requests for teams to come into places like nursing homes and stuff like that. And people are, well, not necessarily offering to pay, but when I ask them, and what will you be paying? They write something in that section.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, great, I'll pass this on to the teams.
Well, I think you've just got to think about it. Like, again, we do our therapy dog reassessment every year. We have to have insurance. So for me, that's through the Australian Association of Social Workers. They've got therapy dogs written into it, which is really cool. And then I've got pet insurance as well, just in case something happened. I buy Zeewee Peak for his treats because he's the biggest snob ever. And
just like $10 million a bag.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, he, although he's a little dog, doesn't cost much to feed. He is groomed every 6 to 8 weeks, depending on what season it is, because he's a fluffy little dog and for hygiene purposes and all of that. So there's all these running costs that go into it and things like that, you know, business name, all of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, we do charge depending on how many sort of people we see. Depends on sort of what we charge. You want to know the cost or?
Yeah.
If you're happy to share it.
Yes, I don't care, but I know that some of our listeners will be very interested.
Yeah. So we charge anywhere, depending on all the specific factors and stuff like that, usually anywhere from $169 to $199 for a 1 hour session.
Yeah.
Yep. Some homes have said, oh, we can't afford that. And some homes we do like once a month. You recently posted on the TDA group, I think his name was Nigel, looking for, so we've been in talks with him at the moment as well. I think, look, just given some of the extra qualifications I have as well in mental health and things like that, is a way that sort of we say we're a bit of a specialist service.
Yeah, absolutely. In
that when working with, you know, aged cares and things like that, we've got training around that. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's your time as well.
Yeah, well, and that's how also the world works. You have to pay people for
their time.
There's pay rates for stuff, and that is absolutely dependent on, qualifications and stuff like that. So, I think when we spoke to Bree Rooney in her podcasts, it seems like there's a movement happening in the visitation kind of realm of therapy dog visits, where it was completely dominated by volunteer teams, or saturated, by volunteer teams, which I love. And I'm love for our teams to volunteer as well, if that's what they want to do, if that's what they're called to. I love that. But I also really love that people are taking more, having a better understanding. So the facility managers and stuff like that, having a better understanding of the value of these visits. So just like any other service that you come in, like how many other services go in everywhere they go for free?
Yeah.
It's not free to for you to go.
We had some nice feedback from a home that we do visits with monthly, where they have a particular volunteer therapy dog organization come in as well. So they take those usually to some of the big awards and things like that. but they said they really noticed a difference, and that's why they keep us on monthly, because of how we just operate differently in terms of the stuff we do with the therapy dog. And, you know, some of these dogs are lovely dogs, but just really big, a lot of really big dogs, or a lot of, yeah, just they've just sort of said they've noticed a difference with the volunteer program and paid program sort of thing. So
Therapy Dogs Australia teams are superior. I think that's what they said.
Yeah. I heard it.
Because some places the handler hasn't been trained. They just assess.
Yeah.
I think that's a real standout difference. And I think for our handlers who are listening, it's important to recognize that and include that in your self-marketing, making sure that you're communicating that you know what you're doing as a handler, as a therapy dog handler, and that, and maybe making that point of difference that you've done a course that's addressed all of the theory that's required as for being a therapy dog handler and designing animal-assisted activities. And then, yeah, just go in and wow them like Shakira and Althea, and then Bob's your uncle. Yeah, that guy, he reckons that he's going to have places all over.
Yeah, he talked to me like some out at Ipswich, and I was like, oh, that's probably a bit far for us. We don't really travel over half an hour, if I'm being honest. It's a long time for the dog to be in the car before a session. And then, yeah.
Yeah, travel time's a nightmare.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So little Alfie, how old's Alfie now?
He's just turned 3.
Oh, it's not a baby anymore. Grown up. Yeah. Oh, dear little Alfie. And he's 5 kilos, which is like my cat little. Used to weigh more than that. Yeah, he's tiny, tiny, tiny little fella. And he's a Maltese cross poodle. And he's, what do you call that color? It's like golden.
Yeah, I'd call it like a creamy. Golden brown. Yeah, cream.
Africa? Gold? Yeah. Mm.
What's his?
Like this.
What's his Instagram handle? Yeah, look at him.
So our business is Waggly Woofs. And then he has an Instagram as well, which is Alfie the Moodle 22. I've slowed down a little bit, but he usually gets cross-posted. Sometimes I make these funny Instagram reels and I'm like, can I really post this on my business page? Like, is it just for fun? But then I usually do it.
Yeah, there's a reason I don't run our socials, Shakira.
Need a bit of strategy.
Yeah. It would just be but me just doing and then, stuff.
Probably the other main thing that we do is our small group programs.
And they're with school kids, or actually they're younger kids. What age do you work with?
Flexibility, but generally run from like between 7 to 12 years old is probably where we see it the most. Obviously, if you've got some kids with some developmental delays and things like that, we push either side just depending on where they're sort of at developmentally. So at the moment, there's a lovely little kids wellbeing group where they don't use their studio on some days. So they let me hire their studio, which is really awesome. And we run our programs out of there. So we kind of do a max of 10 kids just because I like to keep it nice and small. So they get lots of Alfie time. So that one-on-one time, and it's not too much chaos, to be honest.
Makes sense.
We do most of the programs are social skills programs. So we've got a few different programs that have all been evidence-based developed, and then we run these little programs, anything from an hour and a half one-off workshop to a five-week program that's just for an hour a week. So we do those, just advertise to kids in the community, and, yeah, we get repeats or we get newbies, all the sorts of fun things, and it's a space that Alfie's very comfortable in. He knows very well. Mm. So he can be really involved in some of the weeks, or he can kind of just be there walking around getting some pats, living his best life some other weeks. But, yeah.
What sort of activities does that involve when you say working on social skills?
Yeah, so I suppose this is kind of where the handler's hub came from as well. So when we started therapy dog work, we purchased the the Therapy Dogs Australia resource pack that you guys have with some interventions in there. I think there's one for like psychologists, OTs. There's a few different little bits and bobs in there. Because I was like, oh, you know, what can I do? How can he really tailor my current social work skills? Because I do therapeutically a bunch of different interventions just depending on whatever the child is referred to, kind of the therapeutic goals are. So I was like, oh, how can we make this work? And I think I spent so long like researching and trying to come up with different ideas, and it was just really time consuming. So I was like, okay, I will create some resources that are ready to run, and maybe some other therapy dog teams, you know, might want to use them. I actually first started chatting with Bree Rooney and she was sort of my guinea pig outside of Wiggly Woof. So she purchased some of the interventions before we were sort of live up and running, and has used them with her therapy dog, adjusted little bits and bobs as she needed, and said they've gone really well. So that was awesome. So in our social skills program, we have 1 5-week program that's called Perfect Friends. So that's a program about, you know, making friends, body boundaries. So each week has a different theme. So I've just got it here to jog my memory because I have real bad mum brain at the moment. And in our Perfect Friends, we sort of obviously first week always start off with an introduction to the therapy dog. What are the therapy dog's rules? What are our rules as a group? All that sort of general normal group work stuff you sort of do. Mm-hmm. And then in this particular program, it was about recognizing feelings. So we did a lot of work around the zones of regulation. What are the zones of regulation? A lot of this lingo works in with what schools are using too. So most kids have a bit of an idea of what that is and then can bring their knowledge, and we can sort of do this wraparound approach and link it all together. Mm-hmm. So we do things in their feelings match. So I've got these A4 pictures of Alfie all printed out, and he's displaying different emotions, I guess, through his body language. Sometimes he does a little smile and
cute.
Sometimes he's got his head in like a toy basket looking a bit cheeky. So we do memory with that game, and the kids have to identify what the emotion is and things like that. We do fun activities like the silicon cupcake molds. Kids tell me what one of their worries are, put the treat in the silicon cupcake mold, put it around the room, and then Alfie eats up all the worries.
Love it.
So that's a big hit, that one.
Love it.
Cute. Is that one of Alfie's favorites?
Absolutely. He sees these cupcake molds now and he knows. He's like,
I'm about to every eat week. Worries.
Yeah. We do some green zone activities as well. So that might be like blowing bubbles, and Alfie loves to eat the bubbles. So we blow all our worries away into the bubbles, or all our calmness into the bubbles, and Alfie eats all the bubbles. I'm waiting for him to burp detergent or something like that. One of them is like discussing body boundaries and things like that. So we sometimes use some videos of Alfie as well that I've kind of pre-filmed. I have a cue for Alfie because he's so little where I say gotcha, and he will stand still or move his body into me if he wants to be picked up. And if he doesn't want to be picked up, he clearly walks away or runs away like a little cheeky boy he is. So we've got like a video of that kind of thing in there where, you know,
we call that the consent test.
Yeah. So it's really good for teaching kids around what consent means. Mm. That's a really big, hard word. Yeah, I love
that too, Shakira, because it opens up this conversation around for kids too, around consent can be communicated non-verbally. Like not giving consent can be communicated non-verbally, because a lot of my kids just steamroll that stuff. They're like, no one told me to stop. So I could hug my little friends at school all day and, you know, like do all sorts of stuff that other kids find invasive, and they're trying to give those nonverbal signals that they don't enjoy it. So, yeah, I really love that. So I'm just going to let people know that the consent test, if you're interested, when you pat your dog in any way, like when you touch your dog in any way, when you're doing it, just stop doing it and wait and see if the dog comes into you or stays with you for more, or if they kind of move either their whole body away or they move that area of their body away. That's called your consent test. So even like all of us that, you know, sometimes indulge in a cuddle of our dogs where we might grab them and put my dogs in a headlock from time to time and force my love upon them.
if you do that, if you give your dog a hug or something like that and then let go and then see what they do, whether they are like, no, thank you, or they're like, whatever, you can get a consent test that way. And then this example that Shakira is talking about, we use that for picking dogs up as well. So saying something like, gotcha, or you can use hand signals. So you can like clap. That means I'm going to pick you up, especially little dogs, if you go and then pick them up. And you do that every time. What you can do then after a while is, because they're going to pair those things up, then you go, and if the dog doesn't come towards you or they move away, that means they don't want to be picked up because they're anticipating the pickup. And then if you do a hand signal that's, imagine you're scratching a dog's bum and you've got all five fingers and you're doing that big bum scratch, you can do that hand signal. It looks like Cousin It. Do that hand signal. No, not Cousin It, the hand. Out of the Addams Family?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Where's Cousin It from? Don't worry. So if you do that hand signal and then give them a scratch on the bum or somewhere that they like to be scratched, then you have two signals. So you can ask your dogs, do they want to be picked up or at scratch, and see which ones they come in for and what they avoid for. So yeah, I just wanted to take that moment just in case Shakira people were like, oh my God, what? Like, how do you do that? But you just say the thing that it's like your classic, it's a classically conditioned.
Yeah, we do gotcha and we put our hands out.
Yeah.
And he will either come to us and let us pick him up or he will walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go, okay, no worries.
Love really that. Cool to teach people about, respecting some of their dog's boundaries like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that initial sort of friendship program is a lot based on the zones of regulation. There's another activity we do called the calm down sandwich. So it's literally a bread, a meat patty, lettuce, cucumber, all of that sort of printed out. I cut it out really roughly and then I tell the kids that Alfie cut it out. And then they don't pick on, this isn't cut properly. So Alfie cuts their sandwich out. They make a calm down sandwich for Alfie. And then they sort of realize most of the time that a lot of Alfie's strategies could be their own strategies. So then we put their little calm down sandwich in a Ziploc sandwich bag and they take that with them. And when they're feeling outside of the green zone, when they would like to get back to the green zone, they can pull out some ingredients of their calm down sandwich.
It's great.
So we do bits and bobs like that. One of our weeks is focused on how to make friends. So quite often Alfie loves to be a really good helper when he gets a dog treat and gets the kids to practice making a new friend with Alfie. So we have all sorts of things. One of our other programs is focused on building resilience skills. So a week is focused on kindness. We've got another week focused on body appreciation, problem solving, coping strategies, self-esteem. And yeah, that's sort of that program. So we've got on the website, the Handlers Hub, there's a bunch of programs there, from 5-week programs, 1.5-hour single programs, or there's another little section just for individual programs where, I might need to update the information, I probably should look at that, where you can just sort of pick and choose interventions that might suit you perfectly if you don't want to sort of purchase a 5-week program.
Fantastic.
So how did you have the time to put all this together? Was this something that you were finally able to focus on once you went on maternity leave, or because this stuff takes forever that you've been doing?
Yeah, it does. So coming up this year, I think will be 2 years of sort of since we've started Waggly Woofs. Again, I think I was lucky in my full-time workplace that I did a lot of these interventions anyway. So a lot of these interventions I've already sort of been doing because they're just general therapeutic interventions. It's just sort of setting some time aside to have that creative input as to how I can implement the therapy dog into these interventions.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of sat down and I was like, okay, I'll just write these programs to run them myself. And then, like I said, I was sort of having some chats with some other people in our therapy dog community from TDA, and they were like, oh my God, like that would be so handy. Are you going to sell them? And I was like, I don't know, like that's scary.
Big steps.
So I finally knuckled down and I said to Bree, look, if you want to be my guinea pig, like you can test them out for me, give me some feedback and let me know what you think. So that's sort of how we started. And then had my little bubs and I was like, okay, I really should get a website up and running. Really need to do it. It's been on my to-do list for so long. So crazy me, while he was sleeping, was up at whatever time you went to bed, up at night going, okay, let's write these programs. So in the programs, it's like already done and ready to run. So basically the activity is listed, then the resources are listed exactly what you need. So the activity is listed and how, like, it's dot points of how you might want to run that activity kind of thing. Then the resources, everything you need to run that specific activity, and then the time it will take to run that activity. So it's pretty clearly mapped out, just run in tables. I've done sort of the option to, you can just buy the digital program, which would probably suit a lot of people. So you can print that out, ready to go, or you can buy a...
My issue when I do that and buy digital stuff is I don't print it out. Mm-hmm. I am one of those people that's cool, got it, and never get around to the actual logistics thing. Yeah.
So I don't have a printer, so.
Fair. Or we've got an option where you can buy a digital program plus a hard copy program. So I will print that out for you, bind it for you.
We sketch Shakira, an adult, to do it.
Yeah, I have an aversion to paper, so.
It'll be printed, binded, and sent to you. So that's an option as well. But most of my programs have a few little additional resources you need, which can easily be purchased from, like, sometimes like the cheap stores if they're crafty stuff, or Kmart is a really good one. So the third
and Temu. I've been buying craft kits for the clinic.
Like, there's a $50 minimum spend, but I suppose.
Yeah, come at me.
It's related, yeah.
Come at me.
Late nights on Temu.
I only have $8,000 worth of things on my wish list, so.
So the third program, the third option is like gold standard. So you get a digital program, you get the printed hard copy program, and all the resources, like extra little resources purchased for you. So for example, one of those programs is little emotion dice. So you would get all those sorts of little bits and bobs, or the silicon cupcake molds. You get all that put into your little box and sent to you, ready to go.
That would be fantastic.
That would be fun to open that package.
Oh, wouldn't it?
Just think about it, guys. Think about opening the
goodie bag.
Yeah. That's probably our three levels: digital only, digital plus hard copy sent to you, or digital plus hard copy sent to you plus all required resources.
Fantastic. Listen, I think that that is genius, because it caters for every level of functioning adult. So
the social worker in you is truly shining out.
How can I create accessibility?
Inclusive accessibility for adults trying to buy resources. Because I would have to buy the third option with all of the things in it. Or I just won't. I would be like, oh, that's not bad. Like, I went to Kmart. I can't even remember what I went to get. But I just bought everything except the thing that I went there to get. And it'll be another 6 months before I go down there again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're distracting.
And the whole reason I went to the shops was to check the PO box, because I've discussed this on the podcast before, but my original PO box got cancelled, which dedicated listeners to the podcast would have heard me complain about that my local flipping PO box got cancelled. Guess who didn't register their car for 5 months? Because my mail just goes nowhere now, just goes straight the shredder, apparently. I got pulled over and got a $400 fine.
Did you get an email, though?
No, if company stuff, they won't. Oh, they don't even, only do it by paper. And here's my reward for trying to be a grown up as well. I changed my address with Queensland Roads, because I knew this would happen. I was like, this is a disaster when the PO box finally got. So I didn't change anything, because I was like, I'm just going to get it redirected to my new PO box. But it was like $1 million. And they were like, we just can't do that. And I was like, what do you mean? So anyway, then I was like, okay, well, buy a mail. Bye-bye. And I actually changed my address with Queensland Roads, but they changed it for, like, my Sam CRN, not my company CRN.
which I didn't even know. Like, you can't do any of that online. You can't do any company stuff online at all. So anyway, I blah, 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 lost weight. Anyway, update. I went to the shops to check my new PO box because now I have to go to a shopping center to do it. It's where my new PO box is. But obviously immediately as soon as I go to the shop, it's such a nuisance. So I never check it. And I get texts every day. You've got mail in your PO box. I'm like, oh, well. And then I went down there and then I forgot to check my PO box and went to Kmart and then got all the things except the thing I was going to Kmart to buy. So I feel like I need Shakira's level 3 tier. It's going to be 18 months before I can buy all this stuff because I just don't know why I left the house and how I got here.
So website is www.wagglywoofs.com.au. On the handlers hub, and then each program has a little breakdown on there of sort of what the therapeutic intervention would be and the activities included and things like that. And then the three tiers are listed on there. Level 3 if you are Sam.
Sam adjacent.
Yeah. Obviously, just expect if you're buying a digital only program, you'll get it straight away. If you're buying a digital plus, or if you're buying tier 3, you need to give me a little bit of time to get your resources ready and shipped to you.
So when they go onto your website, they go to the handlers hub.
Handler hub.
Yep.
And then they scroll down and click inquire now. Is that correct?
Yeah, so they can have a look at the program. So each of the programs are listed there and there's a little plus.
There's little plus signs next to it and you click that and then it expands and it's got all the tiers explained.
Yep. And then to actually purchase it, they click inquire now.
Yep. Click inquire now and then just send me an email. Let me know what you're interested in. A lot of teams sort of have questions and go, hey, like this is what I do therapeutically or this is what I do with my therapy dog. Do you have a program that might best suit or, you know, one that would this program be suitable kind of thing? Always happy to answer any questions. We are at the moment have had a few requests for specific programs as well. So we are taking, if you've got really one of them was teamwork. So I was just up late the other night developing a program on teamwork.
For grown-ups.
For kids. But if you had one for grown-ups as well, like put your request in. We'll see what we can do. Good thing is, like I said, all of these are usually evidence-based programs, tried and tested as well. So, or I sort of sell them. I tweet, go, oh, this didn't work so well, actually. So we'll change this to this. This works a little bit better. Again, I wish I had it here to show you, but some of them have worksheets and things like that. You'll get the worksheet emailed directly to you included in that. I've done things like an Alfie's Rules poster as well. You get like the template for this where you can just insert your own therapy dog.
Beautiful.
All of those sort of things. We've got signs for the doors, like all of the things. Sometimes in some of the programs I've included as an example, like the A4 memory match, if you want to use our therapy dog for that, like Alfie, you're welcome. Or there's an example there where you can go, okay, I'm going to create my own of that if you really want it to be your therapy dog. But I have a few other dogs in some of my resources and I go, oh, look, these are Alfie's friends. And then that sort of opens up some more conversations anyway.
The templates are really handy. And that's what most of the resources I see shared in books and stuff like that have got worksheets with them. Some of them are template-y and some of them aren't, but I think templates I really value because I like to tweak things. But once the structure's there, like the idea's there and the structure's there, like I would often buy worksheets off of teachers' aid, the teachers' tools, whatever, and the therapist aid website and also Etsy. And I like buy them and then I'm like, use it. And then I'm like, I want to make it different. I want to make this different, but they're not template-y. So then I just make my own from their ideas. So it would be, I think it's excellent if there's a template option where you can just edit things a little bit. It'd be great.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. So like, for example, I suppose like one of our activities where we're going through the zones of regulation, that's like when we're first touching on that, we've got these A3 posters that sort of explain the zones of regulation. You get all those visuals and things like that as well, so you get everything you need for the activity basically. So it's just less to think about, I guess, if you're not super creative as well, you know. It's done for you, it's ready to run. Like if some people run, so these programs that I run in the community, like they are paid programs, so people pay a person to come. You buy this program once. If that's your model of business, you can do that as well. So you buy the program once, you can run it as many times as you like. You can adjust it to suit your therapy dog. So I've sort of put in there, you know, for this activity, here's option A or option B, depending on what your therapy dog's strengths are.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I was going to ask that if the dogs need like specific skills to be able to do the activities.
Yeah. So I think one of the programs I was developing the other night, actually, I think one of my activities was like a little obstacle course. Now, my therapy dog loves jumping through hoops and over little sticks and hurdles and things like that. Some dogs just might not enjoy that. So we included like a scent work game as option B kind of thing.
Cool.
There's a couple different options in there depending on, yeah, the strengths of the therapy, because everyone's got different strengths. And things like that. So, yeah.
Inclusivity.
<It's> finest.
I love it. Very clever, Shakira. And I think great ideas, great business ideas for some of the listeners as well. All those people out there who are thinking of doing something similar. I love the tiers option. Especially tier three, because you don't see that around very much. Shakira, but 10 years time when someone's listening back to our podcast history, Shakira might not agree to continue to tier three. It'll be a real pain in the ass for Shakira. But for a limited time.
Get it while it's hot.
Yeah, at the time of recording, it is available. It exists. Someone will do all the work for you. Brilliant. We also have at our clinic, we have male psychologists. So obviously there's them two and me, and between the three, nothing's getting bought from the shop. Like, we'll drink milk that's out of date for a week before someone gets to the shop.
Nice.
So, you know,
there's that. But yeah, I love it. Very, very good. Okay. So anything else that we wanted to touch on before we say goodbye to Shakira today?
Just, yeah, there's a contact page for me on the website, or check us out on our, we've got Instagram or Facebook, probably the best way. There's a lot of Instagram reels of our programs as well. So you can sort of see a visual of sort of how the program, so it just kind of like highlights of what we've done. So yeah, the only probably other thing we do is like individual therapy sessions, and a lot of that's for children with NDIS, mainly just because at the moment we are not Medicare registered. It's in the future goals. So individual sessions, obviously for kids that don't have the funding, can be quite expensive to parents, I guess, and they can't get like a Medicare rebate. So that's in the works, hopefully for the future, but a little busy right now. But yeah, so that's kind of us in a nutshell. Hopefully I somehow find a little bit more time on my hands to do a little bit more, but it's something we just really enjoy doing. It kind of started as a passion project and then just grew from there. And I guess, yeah, the main goal of the Handlers Hub was just to take the work out, because it took a really long time to develop and I guess run and test these programs.
Yeah.
So if another team can sort of just purchase it and get straight in there without having to do it or having to think of a program and design it, because it can be quite overwhelming, it's all done for you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's it. And it's like you touched on before, it's the people that aren't naturally blessed with that creativity to create animal assisted intervention design, and you guys are the group that are gonna see, you know, you'll probably order these packages, have a look at them and be like, why didn't I think of that? It's so simple. Like, when you look at the designs of stuff that we do, like all the ones that we teach in the course and stuff like that, people are like, I can't believe I didn't think of that. It's brilliant. Or even in group supervision, when we talk about stuff and I'll be like, oh, you could try this. And people be like, that's so obvious. Why didn't I think of that? But it sounds like really obvious once someone said it or shown it to you, because it does make perfect sense. It's, oh my God, of course, that's brilliant. But some people just are not, they don't think that way. That's not their strength, and or they're still learning that skill or whatever. And that's fine. That's why we have the Shakiras that are out there, you know, creating this stuff for you and getting you started, and or even, you know, getting those ideas flowing, like how I would get worksheets and stuff off Etsy and that, and then be like, oh, I just want to, I actually, do you know what? Now that I've seen this person's worksheet, I somehow know what mine looks like.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Now that I've seen this one, this very clear to me what mine looks like.
I think just the best thing about it is it gives you a place to start. If you're feeling a bit lost and you're like, oh, I think, yeah, it just could potentially give you that motivation to go, okay, we've got this program here. This works really well for our dog as well. Now we could do this activity and include this like this. Or,
yeah,
I think it just gives you those stepping stones to start as well. So, yeah.
Well, sometimes I feel like I get a bit, like I get kind of bored of the interventions that I've been doing for a while. And then I sort of feel like I get a bit lazy sometimes not coming up with new and different things all the time. So a bit of a like refresh, like it's fun to get someone else's stuff so that you can bring that in. And yeah, then you find that out of this package that you've got, you start using it all the time. And then you're like, oh, they could also do this with this, and I can also do that with that. And it just kind of gives a bit of a freshen up to the stuff that you're working with every day, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I love that. I love that flexibility that it could be for anyone, like people starting out and people that have been in it for ages.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Even if you're good at it, like it's still fun to look at someone else's stuff and be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Mm. And like I said, it's there, it's run, and you can tweak it to go, okay, I actually love this activity, but I want to add it a bit like this, or my dog is good at it like this, so we're going to do it like this. Yeah, so like I said, Bree tried them out, and she tried them in a school setting, and she said it worked really well for her. So all types of different setting, OT, psychologists, anything really allied health, it's all just kind of therapeutic interventions. It's all your main stuff. Like emotional regulation is huge. It's probably one of the things I do the most. There's heaps of in there, social skill work, you know, all of it. We take requests, like I said, so just
also really cool.
Fantastic.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story with us today, Shakira, talking to us about all these cool things and for being so proactive and active in the industry and creating stuff like this for people, especially those who are like very newly graduating or like we just said, freshening up. It does take a lot of time and effort to create this sort of stuff. So thanks for making the effort. It's truly appreciated, I'm sure, by many. So thanks for your time today.
And, Thank you, Shakira.
Everybody, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in studying with us, but you have a few more questions before you get started, please get in touch with us by emailing info@therapydog.com.au or visiting our website, www.therapydog.com.au, for more information and our FAQs.